Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Sanctir Holding 2019 full year results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Bianconi, Head of M&A and Investor Relations of Sanctir Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to Sanctir Holding 2019 full year results. I'm here with our Chairman and Chief Executive, Francesco Caltagirone, who will be ready to answer your question during the Q&A session. You have received the presentation. Going quickly through the documents, turning to page two, give you a flavor for the highlights on our full year results. Revenue reached 1.2 billion, up 1.3%, including a 33 million incremental perimeter change for 3 months of Lehigh White Cement, our U.S. subsidiary consolidation in 2019 compared to the previous year. On a like-for-like basis, revenue declined by 1.4%, mainly due to a significant drop in revenue in our Turkish subsidiary, only offset partially by other regions. Our EBITDA was up 10.6% to 263.8 million euro, including a 25.5 million euro of IFRS 16 impact, a 3.7 million euro Lehigh White Cement additional contribution, and 6.4 million assets revaluation in Turkey. There was a higher contribution from all regions, with the exception of Turkey, with a major increase in our Nordic and Baltic and Belgium regions. EBITDA margin was up 180 basis points. Group net profit declined to 83.6 million euro. This was due to a comparable figure, which included 40.1 million euro for a Lehigh White Cement stake revaluation and 20 million from mark-to-market of commodity hedging. Net financial position reached 239.6 million euro, including 84.3 million impact from IFRS 16. Turning over the page and going through our subsidiaries, starting with Nordic and Baltic, which accounts for around 51% of our EBITDA. In Denmark, trading was pretty good, with domestic gray and white cement volumes up by 5% and 10% respectively from last year, with domestic prices in line with inflation. White cement exports were moderately up. Gray cement exports were down due to lower deliveries, mainly in Norway and Iceland, and average export prices were up. RMC volumes were more or less flat, with prices up with inflation. EBITDA was up double digits to 15.9 million euro, of which 10.4 were due to IFRS 16. Norway recorded a soft year, with sales volumes slightly down due to declining public and residential construction, with the exception of the Oslo and Bergen area, with prices outpacing inflation. In Sweden, there was a mixed year, with RMC volumes down and prices slightly down, and aggregate sales and volumes up. Turning over the page to Belgium and France, on page four of your documents, you can see that gray cement and clinker volumes were up more than 10%, with strong sales in Belgium, France, and the Netherlands, and prices up in Belgium and minor increase in exports. RMC volumes were down in Belgium and flat in France, whereas aggregate volumes were slightly down because of very strong comps from last year. Prices up in aggregates due to better product mix. EBITDA was up strongly by 13.5 million euro, of which 4.3 million were from IFRS 16 impact. This is despite the higher cost for the second kiln restart in Gaurain. Turning over to page five, North America. Our results were altered by three additional months in 2019 compared to 2018. The market in the U.S. was hampered by unfavorable weather conditions, mainly in Texas and New York State. And there was also a stiffer competition in some selected states. In other states, was strong demand for white cement. Prices were in line with the previous year, and EBITDA was up to 24 million euro, including 4.5 million from IFRS 16. Turning over the page 6, Turkey. Here, clearly, this was a tough year for Turkey. Domestic gray cement volumes were down by 24%, only partially offset by higher exports. Domestic prices also were down in local currency. We should be noting that in the last 4 months of last year, domestic market bounced back with volumes up 22% year over year. RMC volumes also were down for 2019 by 41%, also due to the closure of some plants, with prices in local currency up by more than 15%. Our waste management business enjoyed better revenue in industrial waste, whereas urban waste reported slightly lower revenue. Clearly, the Turkish lira devaluation of 11% versus the euro and the sharp drop in volumes impacted our EBITDA severely, together with an increase in main fuels, electricity, and personal costs. We have to remind that EBITDA includes 6.4 million of assets revaluation, and if we look at just the industrial EBITDA, the decline in 2019 from the previous year was 20.3 million euro. Turning over the page to 7 on Egypt, we can see that the country has stabilized in terms of security in Sinai, and therefore the business enjoyed good volume recovery, with domestic prices in local currency going up significantly. Export volumes increased by more than 20% to all main destinations. Therefore, thanks to operating leverage and higher domestic prices, there was a sharp increase in EBITDA to 6.3 million from 3.2 million of last year. Moving on to Asia Pacific, which accounts for 9% of our EBITDA. 2019 was a good year in China, where strong white cement and clinker volumes in the domestic market pushed up EBITDA by 22.3% from 2018. In Malaysia was a better year with the white domestic cement showing a solid improvement and higher average selling prices, whereas export cement increased thanks to better sales into the Philippines, Vietnam, and Cambodia, and Australia. Lower export of clinker in India and Australia. Overall, EBITDA increased by 18% thanks to better sales mix despite a slightly negative forex effect. And lastly, Italy, where, I remind you, we have mainly our trading company, Spartan Hive. We can see here a strong increase in EBITDA, mainly due to the activity of this trading company, which commercializes cement and clinker to group companies and third parties. Turning over the page to 10 on the financial results, you can see here that there is a sharp decline in associates because Lehigh White Cement moved to a line-by-line consolidation. And net financial expense was 25.4 million. We have to note that the previous year result was heavily influenced by 40.1 million impact of our Lehigh White Cement stake revaluation, as well as over 20 million impact of positive mark-to-market commodity hedges. Whereas this year, the figure includes the 4.4 million hits from negative exchange rates and 1.5 million of interest on lease liabilities arising from the initial application of IFRS 16. On page 11, you can see a cash flow bridge. If you take the 255.4 million net debt figure at the end of 2018 with a pro forma adding the 84.3 million of the IFRS 16 impact, you can see the cash flow generation has been significant of 100.1 million euro over the 2019, which brought net debt down to 239.6 million at the end of last year. So the main figure you have here, you can see also that there was a significant improvement in working capital, that is positive cash inflow. Then lastly, on page 12, there is our guidance. You can see that we expect 2020 revenues to be in the range of 1.27 billion euro, with an EBITDA of around 270 million. We expect the net financial position at the end of the year to be around 180 million euro, after a capex of 86 million, of which 12 million in sustainability and 5.6 million of digitization capex. Clearly, these forecasts do not include any evaluation, which at this stage would be premature, on the impacts on world, regional, and sector economic growth from exceptional events such as COVID-19. If any of those significant elements would emerge in the coming months to materially impact this guidance, we'll be updating this guidance accordingly. Just a comment on the next slides, page 13, 14, and 15, are just illustrative of what we've said, that we are committing a significant portion of our market cap with 100 million investment in sustainability and digitization. And we also clearly stated a target of reducing CO2 emissions by 30% by 2030. So I'm not going to go through those slides. I would leave the floor to our Chairman and Chief Executive, Francesco Caltagirone, for any questions you may have. Thank you.
So are you ready for questions?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So excuse me, this is the Chorus Call Conference Operator. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I have a few questions. First one is as regards extraordinary capex. So for 2020, you say you will do only, let's say, 18 million euro out of total 100 in the 3 years. So just what is your indication also for 2021-22? So it means that basically 21 and 22 would be much higher than this, is more 21 or 22, just to model the estimate on capex. Then financial charges, quite high, excluding the 4 or 5 million of forex, in any case it's 20 million. I guess that there is some derivative impact, if you can clarify, and also going forward, what amount of financial charges should we expect. Then another question is on Italy, because Italy posted a sharp improvement of the EBITDA, is 8 million euro. It's a trading company, Spartan Hive, plus other activities. Can you clarify exactly what is in the Italian perimeter? And out of these 8 million, I think that there is also IFRS 16, how much in Italy, because in the press release is not mentioned. Tax rate was quite high, 28.6%, that is above the 24-25% that you say. Why, and going forward, should it normalize? And finally, Turkey. There was a nice inflection after many quarters of drop in Q4. We expect to continue, and Belgium comes from three strong years in which the EBITDA increased by around more than 50% in 3 years. Do we expect this to stop in 2020 and going forward? Thanks.
Okay. Yes. The first questions were, question was about the extraordinary capex. Yes, in 2020 will be 18 million, and then will be another 32 million in 2021, and the remaining part in 2022. So the financial charges are linked by let me say, hedging, not hedging, but is, let's say, we have part of the debt, as you can imagine, in dollars for the acquisition of Lehigh White, that has been completed in early 1918. And also, there is, unfortunately, we have, let me say, after the acquisition of CCB, taken some credit lines that we today, as you can imagine, don't use, but it's very difficult also to place money with a positive return. So, unfortunately, we have a mismatch that will end next year, probably in May or June, where, let's say, our net financial position is 239, but let's say it is we have 500 of debt and 250 of cash. And unfortunately, on the cash, in the last 12-18 months, the return is close to zero. So we pay interest on 500 million because of the credit line that we took when we acquired CCB for 5 years. And partly is financed in dollars, so the rates are, let me say, 1.75 higher compared to euro because the financing for Lehigh White has been taken in. In Italian results are mainly, let me say, linked to Spartanite trading. There is no IFRS 16 impact. It's pure trading in cement, clinker, pet coke, additives, spare parts. So it's a wide range where, let me say, we deal from Italy for the entire group, and also we deal also for third party. About the tax rate, this year is higher for a one-off tax that we incurred in Belgium, and so we think that from this year, the tax rate will go back below 24%. It's like in Belgium what we have in Italy, like IMU, so we have a one-off that hit the balance sheet, unfortunately. Turkey has, let me say, shown on the last quarter sign of recovery. Even in the first 2 months of this year, the recovery seems to continue. We have also, let me say, to take in account that the Turkish lira continues to devaluate. So when we report in euro, the results are, let me say, adjusted for this devaluation. And I think that it's premature to think that to see if, let me say, the Turkish crisis is finished, but for sure there are signs of bottoming, as I already told you even in the last quarter when we had the conference call for the third quarter. Belgium, I don't remember on Belgium, sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yes, basically in 3 years since you bought the company, you increased the EBITDA by more than 50%. So it's a sort of overheated market, or basically should at least keep this level of profitability?
We think that, let me say, the market is so far, because as you know, we don't know what will happen in the future about this COVID-19, but so far has been very supportive, especially in the aggregates. In the aggregates, we serve the Paris, the Belgian, but also the Paris market, and we think that the infrastructure for La Grand Paris, the Olympic Games, should, let me say, continue in the next few years. So if there are no external, let me say, factors, we think that, I don't think that in the next 2 years we can increase another 50%, but let's say also with the investment that we are going to make in the next year in the kiln, to upgrade one kiln and to close the other one, should increase the profitability. So we should increase the usage of alternative fuels from 40% to 80%, and this should, let me say, increase for Belgium probably another 6 or 7 million of EBITDA. I mean, but this, I think, from the second half of 2022, when, let me say, the upgrade of the kiln will be completed.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Emanuele Gallazzi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the U.S. market. You mentioned unfavorable weather condition, more competition, and slower growth in residential and commercial sector. What should we expect for this market in 2020? And for China market, if you can just give us an update about this market in the last 2 months.
Okay, start from China. We have been forced to close the plant for 3 weeks. Now the plant is back normal operation in the last 2 weeks. Let's say that of these 3 weeks, we have already planned, let me say, the normal maintenance. So, let me say, for us, the shut has been, let me say, prolonged only for 1 week. For sure, we are at, let me say, nearly 300 kilometers from Wuhan. We didn't experience any, let me say, positivity from COVID in our, let me say, labor force. The market is recovering. It seems that the measures put in place from the Chinese government are working, and even if for sure in the first 2 weeks the market, the sales are a little bit subdued, but let me say we forecast a much heavier impact, and it seems that in a couple of months, if this recovery continues, we will be back on track in budget. So I think that by the end of April, we should recover, let me say, our normal trajectory. Even we have to consider that due to this, let me say, crisis, there has been a huge destocking, and now, let me say, there are with the all plants around China that are open all together, we are, let me say, requested to ship a lot of cement, especially farther from the plant. So the local market, as you can imagine, because it's close to Wuhan, is still subdued, but the market far from Wuhan is, let me say, speeding up, let me say, the request. And the U.S. market last year has been, let me say, hit by unfavorable situation in the weather, in our, let me say, core markets, and by some extra import. We think that we also changed at the beginning of the year the top management. As you know, when you buy a company, you need some month or some quarter to adapt, and we think that this year we should be online with our, let me say, forecast, and also we think that one of the importers, that was an Egyptian, is facing problems with quality, and probably they will lower the import to United States.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Paiva Roshil with MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking my questions. Just a couple of questions from me. The cash generation was very strong this year, and as a result, net debt has come down. I mean, can you talk to us about potential acquisition opportunities and what the pipeline looks like? And in this respect, if you're focusing on any particular regions or products for potential acquisition opportunities?
Yes, even if our leverage is already very, very low and should be close to zero in a couple of years, at the moment, we don't have any acquisition in sight. Our main target is to complete this upgrade from the environmental point of view to invest this 100 million. And also, as already mentioned in the past, our only, let me say, possibility to expand the white cement is to build a greenfield in Southeast Asia. We have already, let me say, targeted a couple of opportunities, but also due to the, let me say, the actual situation in China and in the Southeast, we have, let me say, frozen the situation. So as soon as, let me say, the normal situation will be back, we should, let me say, continue this opportunity. And as I already told, we are talking about an investment of 100-110 million euros spread over 3 years. So let's say that even if in the second half of this year we will restart, let me say, to deal with the counterpart, then let me say it's something that can materialize probably the second half of 2022, with a couple of year or 2 year, 2.5 years of construction. So today, frankly speaking, is something that we can see any result from this greenfield from 2024-25. That today is out of our, let me say, budget or industrial plan.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And just in relation to the Nordic region, it looked like some of the trading conditions in 2019 were mixed, but looking forward into 2020, there are some big infrastructure projects starting to ramp up. Can you maybe just talk us through your outlook for the region, both from a pricing and volume perspective?
Yes, I take this question. Thank you. Yes, there are a number of infrastructure projects that are due to kick in during this year. So, although clearly this region has been trading quite well over the past few years, we do not expect a significant improvement going forward. It's just a moderate rate of increase in terms of volume. So you're talking low single-digit volume increase with prices generally in line with inflation. This is Denmark. In Sweden, we see a bit of a stronger market for 2020, therefore mid-single-digit increase, although we have mainly in Sweden ready-mix and aggregates, so they sometimes have different trajectories, but at the moment we see both going in a positive direction. As far as Norway, as you know, 2019 has been a soft year, and probably in 2020 still is the country where in our Nordic landscape we have more caution on, because it's been going very strongly for a long time, and in some areas it's probably overbuilt, and but you know, overall it is a very solid country with solid fiscal fundamentals, and in those regions, because of climate, there is also very high consumption of ready mix, which is our product. So overall, we expect a very low volume growth in Norway with sort of flattish, slightly up pricing. So overall, I would say 2020, barring any unforeseen shock to the economy, given that these countries tend to be very open to international trade, we expect another year of progress in both sales and EBITDA. I can add that part also of the recovery in profitability we think will come for sure from energy deflation and also the deflation of logistic cost that will, let me say, benefit the entire sector, not only ourselves. But say, even if the market will remain more or less flat, we think that on the cost side we should, let me say, have a few savings.
Great, thank you. Just one last question. Are you able to just talk to us about any potential organic expansion opportunities in terms of maybe plant expansion or other opportunities that you have throughout the group just over the next couple of years?
No, as I said, that today we don't have, and I'm not studying any possibility or possible, deal to enlarge the group.
Okay, sure enough. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, so thank you very much for your interest in Cementir Holding. And we look forward to speaking with you in the next few weeks.
Thank you. Have a nice evening.
Bye. Bye-bye.